Hi there, I'm Justine. I'm very excited today to be talking to Jamie Clark from the Yoga People and Omish Langman about Yin and Tantra. They are doing a 100-hour teacher training course in Goa this year in March 2023. And we're going to find out all about the course, what people can expect, exactly how Yin and Tantra work together. That's it from me. Let's have a chat to the guys. Very brief intros. Jamie Clark.
Yes, I'm originally a yoga teacher and I work in transpersonal psychology. Currently, I do teacher trainings, bringing depth psychology together with yoga asana disciplines. I am a co-founder of the Yoga People and have been practicing my own transformation journey since about 20 years.
So my name is Omesh. I live in Koh Samui. I'm astrologer, tantra teacher, and meditation teacher. And I do this maybe like since 40 years, you can say.
What's your relationship? How long have you known each other?
For me, yes, I remember meeting Omesh in Koh Samui during a training that I was doing for the Yoga People, and I had an astrology reading and have been working with him in astrology and counseling, one-to-one work since 2000, early 2015 is the beginning. He gave me an astrology reading, and from that I went more deeply into working one-to-one with Amesh. So I've been working with him one-to-one since that time.
And have you done many teacher training courses together before?
No, we haven't. We haven't done too many courses together where we're really. Amesh came and did a training with Dulce for the Yoga People in 2019, Mandala and Tantra, where he was teaching a piece of the day for each day. I haven't worked on a teacher training with Amesh, and I'm very looking forward to doing the Yin and Tantra in going coming up. But it will be different from any training that we've done so far, which I'll talk about later if you like. Yeah, we haven't really worked together as a group, as working together in a group, not yet.
Love to find out more about that training, but first, let's find out exactly what is Tantra. The word Tantra has been slightly misinterpreted in the West, hasn't it? Is people kind of assume it's sexual, it's sex-based. So let's just, is that a complete misinterpretation or is there something behind that?
One thing you can say for sure, it's Tantra is meditating together. As when you go into meditation, it's meditation alone. You watch the things that come up, that arise, and maybe let them go. And Tantra is you are with your partner, you are together. So and by this, the energy is flowing between two people. So it's about this energy circle between two people. And then when you have the other person in front of you, so it's more intense. So the energy is rising. So then maybe Tantra is more intense meditation. And whether it's sexual or not, it can be sexual or not. So of course, the energy exchange, you can call it sexual. So the energy is going out, maybe in the first chakra from the man, going into the woman, and then going out from the woman in the heart chakra and coming into my heart chakra. And this is called the circle of light in Tantra. It's more about letting go, letting go of the sexual identification, maybe in the end. It's sexual and not sexual. So it doesn't exclude sex, this you can say, but it doesn't exclude any aspect. So in a way, you could say Tantra is the understanding you cannot avoid one aspect of yourself. So we say yes to any aspect, and by that, something might happen. So it's not excluding sexuality. And normally you have in spirituality or religion, things like that, you exclude sex, no? So it doesn't exclude the aspect of anger. It doesn't exclude the aspect of fear and sadness and pain and whatever, no? So in not excluding anything, there's some peace, because you don't have to fight anything. And this is Tantra, you could say, it's like about exchange of energy. This is also there. So you do it together. So you can do it in a group. You can do it with one or two people. But this would be the basic thing, no? Because when you have a certain intense situation, no? And sitting in front of each other, no? Then the energy is coming up. So you cannot avoid to look at certain things at yourself. When you're alone, you can do as if you don't see this or that. But when the other one is there, the presence of the other one, you cannot avoid certain aspects. That's why Tantra is very, you could say, effective or intense. No? And then you have to look at that. So basically it's that. Now I look at that and say, okay. And if I cannot say okay, then there's something, no? Then there's a block. No? But then I say okay and let go. So in a way you could say Tantra is, yeah, looking at something, saying yes and letting go. And then on the psychological aspect, in a way, it's letting go of the need for the mother, the dependency of the mother for the man, and the dependency of the father for the woman. So letting go of that. So when I don't look for the mother anymore, my personal relationship gets a new quality.
Also, I'd like to add to that is that before, the classical trainings or the classical yoga has related very much about structure, about control, about discipline. And corresponding to that in the trainings that I've hosted before, it's been focused upon developing that discipline. So the yin and tantra training is about the opposite or the polarity or the different quality, a more yin quality of no structure, seeing what comes up and seeing from in a moment of experience what we have to look at. So there's no structure to the training as it would people, as a student might relate to previous trainings where we would have a practice necessarily and a theory here. And it's not structured in that way. Tantric experience is about just seeing what comes up at that time with these people where they're at. So I just wanted to add that to what Amesh was saying, because it's a very different approach to an experience. There is no structure. There is no particular plan until we see who's in the room, where they're at, what's coming up in that moment, what we need to work with. This is very different approach to how most people envisage a teacher training.
I mean, it sounds amazing. How does that
the way
work in a group?
We bring something together, no, you could say, as a total discipline, which is yoga, and a total let go of discipline, which would be tantra. Even this and that. This one doesn't exclude that, and that doesn't exclude that.
Yeah, because in the past, Jamie, you've said to me, Tantra says yes.
Yeah, it's a yes. Now, when I say you cannot avoid any aspect, this would be a yes.
So it's questioning what do you avoid? What do you reject? What do you back away from? How does this work in a group then? How do you pair people off? Are you just holding space for the Tantra just to kind of...
You work in groups and in pairs. So one by one, two people is opposing each other. There's an energetic happening already. Even two women together, no? There's an energetic happening. Or you can have in the group, no? The energy is flowing. No? If you make some group constellation, then the energy is flowing, no? And it's very intense. So it's a sort of ecstatic happening, no? So like ecstasy, no? This you can say, very uplifting. No? But then whatever the thing is, whatever hinders you to be in this, no, you will have to look at. There's a safe space where you can let go of that.
So do you think people might get triggered?
Yeah, they will. They will see parts of themselves that they're uncomfortable with. That will inevitably, and is the point, is the practice to look at what we ordinarily do not want to face within ourselves. So that's, if you say, will people get triggered? The practice is designed to do that. So yes, a practitioner in Tantra would be interested in becoming triggered. Coming back to saying yes to all parts of ourselves. So if we only say yes to certain parts and no to others, which can be sexual, can be anger, jealousy, rage. So if we're only saying yes to the parts that we approve of or society approves of, then we are not whole. We're fragmented. We're limited. So Tantra is about looking at that which we don't want to face, and the practices, the couples, the group will bring that up for us to look at. And we might not be able to say yes in the moment, but it's just the process of practicing towards allowing that to be, and then in time integrating, which means accepting and embracing that part, all the parts of that we're made up of.
Yeah, I mean, I think people very much compartmentalize parts of their life and put the stuff that they don't particularly like. They kind of bury it.
The practice.
Bringing it all out, putting it on the table, looking at all of it.
You can say that you, another aspect or another way to say it, you let go of that what you think you should be. And then by that, you allow yourself to be that what you are. You let go of that, of something fake, because you only let go of fake something.
Well, if people don't like what comes up.
Yeah, but that's, you don't like it, sure. Of course you don't like it, because that's why it comes up. So there's the things you don't like. If you don't like your anger, you put it into the subconscious. And some people, if you don't like your sadness, you put it into the subconscious. If you don't like your fear, you put it into the subconscious. So that what you don't like will come up, sure, because that what you don't like is blocking you. So it doesn't allow the energy to flow. So, and that whatever you don't like in yourself, this you will have to look at, sure. And then we use techniques that these things get steered up. And then you have to say, it's learning to say, so what? There's anger, so what? And is this so what? You don't have to like it, but there's anger, so what? And then it goes. And then it's like the channel gets opened. And then the energy can flow freely, you can say.
Some people often think that the fear or the thing that they're burying is really horrendous. And actually, when they bring it up and breathe through it and release it, it's actually not as bad as they anticipated.
And not bad at all.
Yeah, but some people are so fearful of things like this.
Yeah, but that's why you do a group like that, no? Because then you have the safety of the group, that you can look at it. So, of course, you're afraid of that. And when you're alone, and then when you're in a group, it's more easy. So you have the support of the group.
So how does one person practice Tantra on their own, or do you have to do it within a couple?
First of all, there's practices you can do on your own, such as circulation of light, meditation. Tantra includes what in the West, Western depth psychology, would term shadow work, working with one's repressed or rejected parts of ourselves that get triggered, engaging in a relationship with mother, father, lover, children. This is all Tantra, because it's a personal practice where you're looking at what comes up within you. The group experience we're going to do in Goa is an accelerated, more intensified process, because we're looking to specifically get to those aspects as a group experience. So you can do Tantra alone by looking at all the parts that bring a strong emotion and shame, guilt, fear, and work with those personally. This is what I've worked with, with Omesh for many years. So I work with a teacher. But you can, once you learn how to work with those parts of yourselves, you tend to are able to manage them as a personal practice.
I'm booking a first class ticket to Goa right now.
You're brave, Justine.
What do you mean?
Well, because it's looking at that which you don't want to look at. I'm scared.
You're scared what, of me or
no, of what comes up. It's all part of it.
We've talked briefly about Tantra. Let's just give me a quick, to the uninitiated, give me a quick synopsis. Yin yoga. Jamie, what is it?
Yin yoga is working with the body Functionally, it's a target area that you're looking to address with each posture. You hold the postures for longer periods of time, between 5 to 20 or 2 to 20 minutes, and looking at that which comes up, that which emerges, that which needs to come into balance, or what we need to face. So it's a stillness yoga. It's held for a lot longer periods than moving breathing yoga, and it's focused on one's own personal experience. So there's no fixed formula on how to do postures in a certain way. It moves again towards Tantra in that way, which is very compatible.
You've described yin as being a bridge to meditation. And obviously, it's very kind of inward looking practice. So I could totally see how that would relate to Tantra. So, but what do you say to people who say that yin's boring? So they practice yoga, but they say, well, no, I can't be doing without yin yoga. It's boring.
I would say, okay. I would say, let them think it's boring for themselves. It's not something I want to convert. I would say yin arrives to a practitioner when the practitioner feels they can face really what's moving underneath it within them, within their subconscious. Usually, in my experience, yin is, as a practice, is usually rejected because people feel agitated, people feel fear, people feel resistant to being still. It's the same with sitting for long periods of time in a seated meditative position, pose. So yeah, when I would say yin arrives when you're ready to go in.
So how do yin and Tantra work together? Could you expand a bit more on that?
Yeah, it's another practice for Tantra, using postures. Yin's not, as Paul and Susie, who my teachers have taught it, is not breathing focused. It can be. It's a practice where we're looking at meridian channels, chakras. Yin is very focused onto meridians and chakras, which is very much resonant with tantric philosophy and practice. So it's a perfect practice for a tantric training, because it works with the same philosophy, such as energy centers in the spine, looking at the shadow, looking at that which we resist, looking at and being with oneself in one's own experience. So it adds a bit of yoga asana into an experience which would be very different than your usual yoga asana training.
How is the yin and Tantra different to the pattern work you do? So yin and pattern work that I've been on one of your yin and pattern work courses. So what's the difference? Because that brings a lot of stuff up too. That brings up a lot of stuff. And I found that, you know, bringing stuff up, suddenly go deep into that and then go into an asana practice, things shifted, physically shifted inside me. So is this what we're trying to do with yin and Tantra?
It uses a different method. Amesh said about we look at where we're identified with the mother, with the father. That's the same as pattern work. Pattern work gives you a process, a practice. It's very cognitive. Look at the patterns. Where am I copying? Where am I rejecting? So Tantra would be different because, yes, it's looking at those primal wounds at its very core, but it's less structured, more focused on partners and group work, more confronting. You, in pattern work, we can squirrel ourselves away and do our pattern work process through a series of steps. Tantra would be very much sharing with the group in couples, facing what's really happening in that moment, putting yourself right in the fire of what you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's very energetic, you can say, Tantra. No? So it's like we want the energy to rise. No? And so it starts in the first chakra. No? So we put the focus on that. And then from that, the energy is rising up. No?
Yeah. That's very different than the pattern work. More energetic, working with the energy of the spine.
Jamie, why did you say you're quite scared of what's going to come up?
Well, I'm saying with the idea of being a strong training for everybody. I mean, and there's great joy in that and great, you know, hesitation as well. So, you know, you're no more alive when you're in working with what that which you don't want to look at. So that's what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, when you do a course in London, you can come back home, cry into your own pillow. You're in Goa.
Nowhere to run.
Jamie, you were talking on an Instagram thing the other day. You're saying Tantra methodology, looking at the consistent feelings and thoughts we create, seeing how we hold on to them or identify with them or how they lead to other thoughts and feelings, and looking at what's behind them with spacious awareness and meditation, seeing how we reside within these thoughts and feelings or how we try to reject them for the next feeling or thought that follows. That sounds quite similar in a way to kind of cognitive behavior therapy. Is it similar to that, do you think?
It's looking where we're creating meaning around our thoughts and feelings. That is CBT, sure. But it's also looking at the, you know, in Tantra, we're looking at in order to say yes to that which is happening. And I would say maybe a difference between cognitive behavior therapy would be looking to put an emphasis on, I've gone off track here. How can I now reframe or correct that? Tantra, I would say, and Amesh maybe can add to this, Tantra is looking really about ultimately accepting who we are actually without any agenda to really correct anything. Can you add to that?
You can say it's even more than accepting, being what you are. So it's not, you don't have to accept it, be what you are. Accepting is always put a separation between that what you are and that what you have to accept.
Yeah.
But the end is going one step further, no? Being what you are. So in a way, you could also, from another aspect, you go beyond separation. And then you have a oneness experience. So this you can have with one person or in the whole group. So this is the same thing in the end. No? You can say when you fall in love, you have a oneness experience. No? There is no fear. No? And this, in a way, is with Tantra, no? And you can happen, there's a oneness experience with the whole group, you know, or with your partner, this can happen, no? In a way that, so you go from the experience of separation, you go to the experience of oneness. This is whatever spiritual technique is that. You want to go from the experience of separation to the experience of oneness, no? And then you do it with meditation, maybe you do it alone. With Tantra, you do it with other people together. You can say Tantra is more colorful. Meditation is alone, very dry. And Tantra is like you go through a garden, no? So the oneness experience. And in meditation, you go through the desert to the oneness experience. So the oneness experience is the same. Maybe the way is different.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly like the idea of the group element, because you can learn off other people and what comes up for them, and you can almost identify how you react to certain things based on their experience as well. I definitely think. So what kind of work do you think people will be doing with themselves and others? What kind of, are you just going to get people to sit there and just see what comes up? Or you said there's no structure. So how loose is it?
No, that's what fits in the moment. So it depends who is there, what is the group, no? What is the most effective technique to get things to movement, no?
And that in itself can bring up discomfort when we say, well, we'll just see. You see how that's uncomfortable in itself? Oh, I mean, there's not a this or that.
There's quite an interesting trick that journalists do with musicians, especially singers and actors. When they interview them, they leave gaps of space, and it makes that person feel quite uncomfortable, and they have to fill that space. And then that's when they tend to bring stuff up and bring stuff out. And that's when the journalist gets the good interview, because you've left a slightly uncomfortable space of time, and a certain type of person can't cope with that. Is that a similar kind of thing where you just turn, get people to come to your class?
In the first place, Tantra is an experience.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I mean, I had some structure to this podcast and it's sort of like, it's gone freestyle, and that's absolutely fine because that's Tantra.
Well, you could say another thing. No, you probably read that. Tantra, you could say, is a concept of having no concept. A very short and direct way to describe Tantra.
Or structure of no structure, yeah. Or becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yeah, uncomfortable pauses. Jamie, why should people do this course?
If they want to look at uncovering what's underneath, how they experience aspects of themselves, how they want to develop their own spiritual practice or shadow work, they want to take their tantric practice to a deeper level, if they feel that now's the time to really face aspects of themselves that they haven't yet faced or processed, then there's nothing like this course to put them in that situation to open for that opportunity. There will be yin, there will be some yogic, recognizable yogic techniques of meditation and so forth, but it's really a very personal experience that would give that opening into.
Yeah, you can say if you are ready to look at yourself, direct look at yourself, feel attracted to that, whatever, scary thing to look at yourself and to see what will be there. And of course, you know, it's letting go of, it goes to the deepest point. So it's letting go of concepts of relating, as you can say. You know? So it, you know, the one aspect, what we said in the beginning is, you know, to have a new quality of relating, that I allow myself really to look at you the way you are, and that I allow myself to be that what I am. So we don't perform anymore. The realization I don't have to play a role to be what I am, just be what I am. So it's dropping all the roles, if you can say. You know?
All the things that identify us, or the things that we identify ourselves as.
Or gain approval from.
What do you mean?
Well, so much of it, what we are, has been designed and cultivated and refined as gaining, as masks or costumes to gain acceptance and approval from others, mother, father, family, partner. So we're looking to let go of that through practice. So we become, I'm not dependent on the acceptance and approval of others.
Does that benefit relationships, Jamie? I mean, if you are completely like that in a relationship with someone, do you think that's going to make the relationship stronger, beneficial?
Well, what do you think? What do you think when you ask the question? Where does the question come from?
I suppose it very much depends if the other person's of the same way of thinking. Because if you've got one person in a relationship being like that and the other person, I think it's going to jar. It will jar slightly.
Of course, I think.
Say for sure, do something like this in the group or so, you know, then the relationship, you know, the quality of relationship is changing. You know? So it's a different quality, you know, probably a better quality, but a different quality.
Yeah.
It's a good quality, maybe before not.
So if you're being some way because you're being approved of, then you're letting go of that. And if you say, and if that process, I come home or I uncover more authentic me, yes, that could be jarring in the short term in that relate or change the relationship in the short term. But if it would encourage the relationship to deepen, or get to a more authentic place. So, well, of course, to practicing Tantra, even the meditate disciplines of meditation leads towards authenticity. Is that jarring? Absolutely. Changes things. Yeah, there's a great freedom to be felt within when we realize we're not dependent on the acceptance and approval of others. When we realize that,
it goes back to that Larry Schultz quote, what is it? I don't want to be around you if you don't want to be around me when I'm smoking pot.
Yeah.
You're talking about Larry Schultz, obviously founder of Rocket Yoga, accepting his shadow. Is that what it is? It's, this is who I am, accept who I am. And if it upsets you, then I don't want to be around you. If being me upsets you, I'm all about that.
Yes.
You can say in the Tantra group, it destroying everything fake in you. Right? Very destructive, but in a very sweet way, for that is the group. And then that is left, which cannot be destroyed, and this is that what you are.
Yes.
So it's, in a way, it's helping, no, to get rid of whatever, only helping to get rid of the illusions.
The things that bind us. Jamie, who can take up this training? Who's allowed to sign up to it? Anybody? Everybody? People who've done your foundations? What? Who can go to Goa and do this training course?
Well, I would say it's open for everybody. But to be clear with oneself, it's going to be destroying the fake. So if you're ready to look at what's fake, and to look at that, then everybody is welcome to come. There's no hierarchy to this other than a sense of even saying to be ready for this training puts a condition on it. Just to be with yourself, I would say, is appropriate, and have an interest and a curiosity for that, I would, is open to all.
As a yoga teacher, how does this deepen your teaching?
Well, we all know that the teachers that are practicing their own inner work, who are practicing their own personal meditation, are more richer yoga teacher in terms of their own personal experience. So on a personal level, it enriches one's own truth, authenticity. On a technical level, I would say it would give you the rudiments of practice that you can offer students, such as circulation of light, perhaps some understanding of how group dynamics and the work in that format. Also the yin. We'll go into some yin, technical aspects of yin, and we'll have yin practices as well. So it's rich in what you could offer your students, whether it's meditation, asana, inner work.
You could also say when you're a yoga teacher, you know, you come from a different place. You come from the place then where you're at ease with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then even the teaching has a different quality.
Yeah.
Jamie, as a student of the yoga people, you're enabling us to handle tricky situations that might arise in class, as well as stuff that could potentially trigger me. You know, like a student might, you know, will reject something that you're bringing into class. So, yeah, I think your courses are very enabling, richly enabling for students as well. Any other business, or is there anything else you want to mention on this unstructured, structured course?
Well, there's I would if it catches your curiosity, you want to go deeper into your own truth, and you want to do it in a group, in beautiful surroundings, in Goa, in an intense experience. I don't think, as I say, this unstructured, structured course, or course of no structure, concept of no concept course, is going to be very much a powerful experience, and you should join us in Goa.
You could say to you, maybe you learn to own your power.
Own your power, yeah.
By not being afraid of anything, I own my power. And by that, I'm at ease.
So if you want to learn to own your power, come and join us in Goa.
It nearly rhymes, actually. That's your new Instagram post, Jamie. Can you just mention that there'll be two women on the course helping you run the course?
Two female assistants in the team with myself and Omesh, balancing masculine and feminine energy. And, you know, from depth psychology, this is very much relates to Jungian anima, animus, contrasexual, how we relate to our the opposite for a man, so the feminine aspect, and the masculine for the woman. So it's addressing a lot of very crucial fragmented parts we have within ourselves and in society today. Look at all the issues around gender and sexuality and masculine and feminine issues. So it's very, very on point with a lot of these issues.
By saying yes to the female in the outside for me as a man, I'm saying yes to the female inside in me. So we see the man is 50% male and 50% female. That's the male is outside. And the female, the woman, is 50% female, which we see in the outside, but 50% male in the inside. So in a way, Tantra is by saying yes to the woman in the outside, to the other one, I say yes to that subconscious side in me, not to the woman in myself. So by that, I become complete, whole.
Early bird, when does the early bird catches the worm offer? When does that early bird end, Jamie?
February 1st.
And then after that, they've got to pay a little bit more. So if they want to sign up, they need to sign up now. Go for the full 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Go and do everything. Go and do Rocket and Pattern, Yin and Tantra, and Mandala and Shamanism.
That's a full TYP experience package right there.
Never, ever, ever work in an office ever again on the back of that.
Guaranteed.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right.
Thank you very much, both of you, for giving me your time today.